God's prayer for...
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
That schedule. Next week, we had the seminary here, Southeastern Baptist, has had some changes around in their communications department. So we've been working on getting the scheduling back on track. So that's looking good through spring and into the summer. And we'll get Dr. Danny Aiken, who will be back on once a month. So we're getting all that straightened out. So today I had an opportunity, just an open show on a Thursday, which doesn't happen very often. And earlier today, I was just kind of wondering, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And the next thing you know, I get a Facebook message, and it's somebody inquiring about the show and somebody that spends a lot of time in the pro-life movement. And her name is Robin Hingle. And she, I was just like reading this story going, okay, thanks, Lord. That was easy because Robin had an abortion when she was 27. Then she spent 17 years agonizing over that until she got involved. There's some different ministries out there, Restored Life, which is awesome. And then there's a great weekend retreat called Deeper Still, which is to kind of getting away and dealing with the reality that you have an abortion in your past. And there's great healing that can be found through the Word of God and through God's people. But you have to get into it. You have to talk about it. You have to work through it. You have to go through forgiveness. Sometimes that can appear to be one of those sins that you're like, I just don't know that I can ask forgiveness for that, or I don't know that God's going to give it to me. But he does. And as difficult as it is, as egregious, if you want to use that word, as the sin of abortion is, the blood of a child is nowhere near as powerful as the blood of Jesus Christ himself. And so you have that hope. So there is a good chance, not a good chance. I know for a fact that there are those of you out there, you have an abortion in your past, ma'am. It might be you. Or, sir, it could be you. You were involved. Obviously, it takes two to tango. So today, I hope you'll find great solace in getting to meet Robin Hingle and to hear her story and how the Lord has worked in her life and how he's using that to this day to help other people and to bring him glory. She's a native of North Carolina, has a bachelor's degree in psychology that she got at Liberty University. And while she was at Liberty, she worked at the Liberty Godparent Maternity Home, which is awesome, and became a director of the Pregnancy Support Center, like I mentioned. She speaks a lot, also an author. She's a voice for the voiceless and a voice of freedom from the pain of abortion and really having a restored life. So we're really excited to have you on the show today, Robin. And thanks so much for your message. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me on today.
You're very welcome.
Definitely a God thing.
Definitely. Neither one of us were planning on this, but God has the market cornered on that. So it's great to have you here, and I know you're driving and busy and going to one of these events over the weekend. So we praise the Lord for that. Thank you for your time. So let's just kind of jump in and share your story with us and kind of how you grew up, and that will take us to the point where you made the choice to have an abortion. But just tell us about how you grew up and kind of how you got to that point.
Well, as you said, I am from North Carolina, and a small town, in fact, China Grove. Some may have heard of that. And I did grow up in a Christian home. As a matter of fact, I was the epitome of what a good Christian girl looked like. And I went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and sometimes in between there. I also went to a Christian high school and graduated from there, and went to a Christian college as well and graduated. But when I was nine, my parents got a divorce, and that rocked my world a little bit. And so, but I still continued to go to church even through all of that, and through my high school years and through my college years. And then in my early 20s, after an abusive and tumultuous marriage ended, I became a divorced single parent of two precious baby boys. I never, ever thought I would find myself in that situation. I thought I was on the right path, but I want to point out one thing here is that going to church is awesome and everybody should do it. And I was involved in the youth group and I was involved in singing in the choir and singing specials, but my walk with the Lord was lacking. I needed a firm grip on the word and speaking with God myself, and just having that daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was lacking for me. You can go to church every Sunday and still be lacking in the in your faith walk and in your walk with Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, whoever's listening, to make sure that you are walking with the Lord daily and in His Word, because the devil is a roaring lion out seeking whom he may devour. You, although you sit on a church pew every Sunday, that does not exempt you from the devil looking for you and looking for a stronghold to bring you down and render you useless, so to speak. So just be aware of that, is that stay in the Word, stay close to the Lord, have a relationship, a true walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That will help you make decisions that are best for you in your life.
Yeah, what a great point. Because you can be in the stadium, you can cheer for the team and still not be on the team and not be really walking. Listen, we both know, you know this. Robin, I know this. I think most people know this. When we all go to church this Sunday, you're going to see a room full of people. It doesn't matter what size it is. And we can make the assumption that everybody in there has a sound relationship with the Lord, but you just can't do that. There's plenty of people in any church that actually aren't saved. They're not born again. And then there's others that are just kind of going through the motions. But yeah, that's such a great reminder for all of us. So then obviously you got to the point where you found yourself with it being pregnant.
Right. After single parenting for a couple of years, a knight in shining armor, or I thought he was, read into my life. And about a year or so after dating him, I found myself unmarried and pregnant. And the father of that baby didn't want any more children. And I was so extremely overwhelmed, incredibly sick, just physically sick, and in fear of running to my church or my family or my friends, because I felt like I would be condemned and judged. And that is so sad for me right now, because church and family should be the very place that you want to run in a place of crisis.
That's exactly right. Well, Robin, hold that thought. We're coming up on the break, so I'm just going to put you on hold. So be safe. Okay. Keep driving. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get you right back up after this. We're talking to Robin Hingle about her story, into abortion, out of abortion, and finding healing. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is Theology Thursday. We'll get back to that next week. But today, God just provided an opportunity with a new friend, a forever friend. That's a phrase I like to use because Robin Hingle is a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, so we're going to be friends forever, and we're stuck with each other. And if you're a follower of Christ, you're stuck with me. I'm stuck with you forever in heaven, and that's just okay with me. But Robin sharing her story today as a post-abortive person, which is a phraseology that we use, but we shouldn't think of ourselves that way. If you're a man that's been down that road or a woman that's been down that road, if you're a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have to be very careful with the labels that you give yourself. But Robin was got married and then had two children, and it was a marriage that didn't last, broken in many ways, and then was single mom, met what she thought was a knight in shining armor that looked great, and then got pregnant, and then he didn't want to have children. So afraid to go to the church for good reason. Robin, it was obviously a difficult season in your life. But again, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us today.
Right. I did find myself in such a desperate place after that divorce, and just so, like so many people do, wondered how in the world did I get here? Yeah. And then finding myself unmarried and pregnant. And I thought the only solution that I had at that point was abortion. And so last year would have been that child's graduation from high school. Mm. And that year, last year was very precious to me. That was in my mind all year. So my life changed forever the day that I walked into the abortion clinic. As I walked in, they asked for my money and assigned me a number, and I was no longer a name. I was a number to them. I sat in the waiting room and waited on my number to be called, and I finally heard my number, and everything in me was just screaming silently, "Robin, run away." But I stayed. And once I was in there, the coldness of the room just engulfed me, and the physical and emotional pain was like nothing else I had ever faced in my entire life. And they will, when they tell you that this is the solution and it'll all be over with quickly and you'll be all back to normal, that is a lie. They will never tell you that the physical pain that you will endure is something that you will remember the rest of your life. The emotional pain that you face is something that you will carry with you, but you can find healing, but that will always be with you.
Yeah. Were there other,
that's something.
That day, Robin, were there other, I'm sure there are other women in the clinic, and were there any people outside, like you and I are both involved with Love Life and you're involved with Restored Life and you're out there sharing your story and praying as I do and so many people do here in North Carolina and now in New York City with Love Life. Was there anybody outside, and were there other women inside the clinic, and do you remember seeing anything on their faces or sensing anything with all of you in there at the same time?
Right. There was no one outside the clinic that day. No one. I walked in with no one even speaking to me at all. And so I find it very encouraging that we now see people every week, including the pregnancy support centers, on the sidewalks advocating for life.
Yeah.
That is encouraging to me. The room was full when I walked in. The waiting room was full of people, and I kept wondering, why are all these people here? Not even thinking about myself, but thinking about everybody else. But once the actual procedure was over, it was silence in the room. I could feel and hear what I thought was my heart breaking from the inside. And they got me up, and they walked me into a room full of ladies or young girls sitting in orange recliners. Is so vivid to me. They were all sitting in orange recliners, those who had gone before me with their procedures. And none of those ladies, none of them had a look of relief on their face. They all looked very sad. And I didn't ask them how they felt. I didn't have to ask them how they felt. I could tell. It was written all over them. And so when they say that this is the answer, this is the solution, somebody needs to go in and interview and say, this was a relief to me.
Were they explaining to you that when you were in there, Robin, and especially when you were in the procedure room, were they explaining to you what was going to be happening, what they were doing, and how far along were you, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 6 weeks, and no, they did not explain anything to me. They didn't even really talk to me at all. I don't remember anything being said or exchanged or any kind of pat on the arm, nothing. I felt nothing in that room except for coldness from the people and from the air in the room. It was just cold, cold and absolutely lifeless in so many ways. And when I left that day, I was numb. I couldn't feel anything. I didn't want to feel anything. I walked around and life was going on all around me, and I could barely do the functions of daily life at all. And I still had two little boys to raise. So I would keep people at arm's length. I wouldn't let people very close to me. I would have problems with relationships because I was afraid that people would get too close and find out my secret. The sad part about it is I continued to go to church for a while. So I sat on a church pew carrying this guilt and shame and pain with me in silence, as many people do, men and women. This is not just a woman's issue. This is a man's issue as well. And I feel for those men who carry this way too long.
And as the years went by, Robin, did it kind of change each year as the years go by? You're getting further away from it, because I think a lot of people would just say, shrug it off. A couple years from now, you won't even think about it. But did that happen for you?
Well, I did try to put it out of my mind for years. I tried to go on about my business and forget that it ever existed. I never even spoke the word abortion for 17 years. I never heard the word abortion in church, on the radio, in TV. You never heard that. So it was easy to just push it down and forget that it ever or try to forget that it ever happened. But finally, I found the courage when my husband, who is my husband now, and I got together, and he, through his unconditional love of me, just helped me see the unconditional love of my father. And that I could share my heartbreak with my husband, then I could share my heartbreak with God, and that he would still love me, and that he still loved me.
How did that, and then we're coming up on a break, so when we come back, and I'm going to put you on hold in just a second here, Robin, but I'd be curious to know kind of what brought you to the point that you were willing to share that with your husband, and then we'll kind of move from there to hear about how God was able to get healing to you and through some of the things like restored life and go deeper still. We want to talk about that because we definitely want to make sure people understand these resources are available and that God wants you to find that kind of healing, that kind of help like Robin did. Robin, I'm going to put you on hold. This is Steve Noble. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, if you want to check out any of the shows from the past, we podcast on all the major podcast platforms, so just look it up, the Steve Noble Show. You can also grab the podcast directly by going to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and you can join us that way. Or on Facebook Live, for those of you that are on radio and you were just listening to commercials on Facebook Live, we were having a sidebar conversation. It's kind of like we hit the pause button on the main conversation because I don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. But we do, that is like an extra 14 minutes of conversation and content that we have on Facebook Live that you don't have on the radio because you're listening to commercials, which is super important because that's the way most of the radio stations and everybody funds these things. That's necessary. And there's a lot of great ministries and a lot of great messages on there that are valuable. But if you want to have a little bit more time with us in these conversations, you can only do that on Facebook. So you got to go to Facebook. You may be there already. And just go check out the Steve Noble Show. That's just the name of the page on Facebook. And you'll see the Facebook Live. Just press the little play button and boom, there you are. You'll be right here in the studio with me and then on the phone with Robin Hingle, who's kind enough today to call in and share her story. 27, she had an abortion and kept going to church and grew up in a Christian home and was a churchgoer and loved the Lord and would make a profession of faith. But you can go through all those motions, and those are all good things in and of themselves, but you still might not be walking strongly with God. And that was a great message that Robin shared with us when we first started. But this part of the story, Robin, you're on the other side of your abortion, still raising your two boys, and then remarried again. And I was curious, what kind of brought you to the point? What happened when you were able to share this with your husband? How did you get to the point when you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell him?
Well, I believe that he loved me so well and so showed me the unconditional love of Christ, and he reminded me that I was worth loving. I had forgotten that I was worth loving, and he reminded me of that, and I'm so thankful for that. And I would encourage those who know somebody who is post-abortive, just love them where they are. Love them well. Show them the love of Jesus Christ through your actions, through your words, because you can't be people's Holy Spirit, but you can be used to show people and guide people to Christ. So love people well. I did follow up and research post-abortive Bible studies after telling him, and I found a post-abortive Bible study called Surrendering the Secret, which was at a pregnancy support center. And I decided to go to that. So I sent an email to the facilitator and told her I was interested. And she emailed me right back. But the devil continued to tell me I was okay. I was just fine. Robin, you don't need to go to this healing process. You're fine. You never need to tell anybody about your abortion. You will be fine. And so I had talked myself out of actually going when Kim, the facilitator of that Bible study, called me 3 days before the study was to begin. And she could feel that I was trying to not come. And she said, Robin, can I just tell you my story? And as Kim told me her story, it was so close to my own that I just dropped to my knees and I sobbed and I sobbed and I shook and I sobbed. And the Lord just opened my heart then and let the floodgates come in. And I felt his love for the first time. I felt that I was not alone, that I wasn't alone in this, that there were other people hurting the same way I was. And so I did attend the Bible study, and my healing began there. I also went to a deeper still retreat, which is a weekend retreat, and I thought my healing was complete until I went to the Deeper Still retreat, and it is named correctly because if you go and you just let God uncover those things that are covered up that you thought he never could use, he will uncover those things, and he will bring more healing, and you will go deeper still with him, and I hope to this next year bring the Deeper Still retreats to North Carolina. As a matter of fact, I'm going to speak at their banquet in just about 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I would encourage people to go to their website and look that up, Deeper Still.
Yep, we shared the links on the Facebook Live feed, so we've got that for Deeper Still. We've got Restored Life in there. I also, just because you mentioned it, I put in Surrendering the Secret. And then if you want to contact, and we're not done talking to Robin, but if you want to talk to her, her actual website has just gone live, and there's a contact form there, and you can engage that, send her a note or a question or encouragement, whatever you feel led to. But that's soarinlife.org, S-O-A-R-I-N, life, soarinlife.org. And that's actually Robin's website. But how would you kind of briefly describe, Robin, what God taught you as you went through these studies, and what kind of truths were revealed to you, and how did that help you then find healing and find some freedom from this this terrible experience from your past?
Well, through each retreat and the Bible studies, and there are lots of Bible studies out there. Surrendering the Secret is just one. There's Her Choice to Heal. There's Save One, Forgiven and Set Free. And all of these are awesome Bible studies. So I don't just want people to think there's just one.
Yeah.
If you go to the restoredlife.us website, we have them all listed on there, all the Bible studies, and in your area as well. So you can see all of them there. But each one of them take you through scripture. And just, first of all, you have to release things. Like you have anger at people maybe that were involved in your abortion. Maybe somebody took you and didn't try to stop you. Or maybe it's the father of the baby. Maybe it's God. Or maybe it's yourself, and most of them will encourage you to write a letter to these people. And I found that so healing that I could actually express to God that I was so sorry and that I thought he was mad at me because of what I had done. And so that's part of the healing process, is just acknowledging your anger and acknowledging your child as a person, that it was a living person. And to give them a name and to give them life and to celebrate that their life did matter is a part of these healing processes. And in each one of these Bible studies, you have a thing at the end where you can actually celebrate the life of your child. And so I believe wholeheartedly in post-abortive Bible studies, and I'm so thankful that there are women and men out there brave enough to write them and to tell their stories as well.
Well,
if nobody was brave, then we wouldn't be do it, we wouldn't have healing.
Well, you keep mentioning this, and several people, and you've got a lot of friends watching on Facebook Live, your friends who are now my friends, but you keep mentioning telling your story. How has that helped you, Robin? And when we come back in the last segment of the show, and then I know you got to get going because you're speaking this evening, but in the last segment of the show, we'll talk about how people can get involved and what we both do at Love Life and things like that. But just talk about telling your story, what that's done for you, and also what you've seen God do with the fact that you were willing to tell your story.
Right. Well, in this last year, God has just opened up so many doors for me to be able, and I told him, I will tell my story, because if Kim hadn't been brave enough to tell me her story, I truly don't believe I would have ever found healing. So that's what my prayer is, that God will use my story to help others find healing. And so he's given me the opportunity, like you said, to give my testimony over 30 times at Love Life prayer walks outside the abortion clinics. I had the opportunity to talk in front of probably 30 escorts from the abortion clinic one Saturday and give my testimony. And they heard every word I said because they were behind me mocking me. That's how I know they were listening.
So
he's given me so many opportunities to just share my story. I was able to go to the 2020 March for Life in January and stand on the Supreme Court steps and give my testimony of how the pain, guilt, and shame of abortion had affected my life, but how the grace, mercy, and unconditional love of Jesus Christ had set me free. And that is so powerful, because who knows how many people were able to hear that and find healing through that. I've also been speaking at banquets and different things, and just God has just opened the doors for me to tell my story. It doesn't get easier, because telling your truth is never easy. I don't enjoy getting up and telling things from my past that people, sometimes you don't know how they're going to react.
Sure.
But I am so thankful that God can take our messes, no matter what they are, whether it's abortion or drugs or alcohol or whatever it was in your past, God can take that mess and he can make it his message of redemption.
That's right.
He can use what you give him.
Amen. Well, when we come back, I'm going to put you on hold one last time. Are you okay on time, Robin?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold one last time. And then when we come back, Robin, I want to talk to you about, again, a little bit more about what you're doing now and Love Life and what that environment is like out there, and just encourage people to get involved, as well as I'll ask you to speak directly to women that are on this side of their abortion and offer them some hope and some encouragement. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show today. Theology Thursday. We'll get back to that regular schedule next week with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, but God opened a door today for us to, first of all, to meet Robin Hingle, which we did digitally, which is what normal anymore, isn't it? We meet people on Facebook or whatever. In this case, it was through Facebook, and she's here in North Carolina where I'm at. And God just made it possible. She's driving and going to speak at an event here in just a little bit, and just worked it out so that we could have Robin join us on the other day. And she's been sharing her story. She had an abortion at 27, then she kind of carried that with her and agonized over that for 17 years until she started to get some help through things like Restored Life and Deeper Still, which is a weekend away. And at the time, it was Surrendering the Secret. There's all kinds of great options out there, kind of post-abortive Bible studies and small groups and lessons. You can find all of those at restoredlife.us, restoredlife.us. All those resources are there. The Weekend Away, which Robin was talking about, really powerful, called Deeper Still. That's godeeperstill.org. We've put all these links up on the Facebook Live feed today, so you can check it out there. And then Robin's website itself is soarinlife.org. There's a contact form there if you'd like to reach out to her. Soar, S-O-A-R, inlife.org. And we appreciate Robin being with us today. And again, thanks so much, Robin, for reaching out earlier today. And thanks for spending all this time with us on the phone.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And just a note to everybody listening, and for those of you on Facebook Live, you know this already. When the radio show ends right at 5 o'clock Eastern time, we hang around for a couple minutes after on Facebook Live and we pray together. So today I'll pray specifically. We'll pray for your ministry, Robin. And you'll be off the, you'll be done and back to your business. But we'll pray for you. And then I'm going to pray specifically for all post-abortive women and men. So if you feel like you want to be a part of that prayer, please join us on the Facebook Live page. I'm not into self-promotion, and that's all God's stuff anyway. But if you want to do that, if you're on Facebook, just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook and hit the play button. You'll see us on Facebook Live, and we'll pray over you as well when we finish the show today. But Robin, tell us a little bit about what God has you doing now. We know you're at the Deeper Still event and their fundraiser and speaking there and sharing your story. But talk about Love Life and what it's like to be outside of these abortion clinics. And I want you to invite people into all of that. And then before we're done, I'd love for you to encourage the women, especially listening, that have been down the abortion road like you. But let's just start kind of with what you're doing now and telling people about that.
Well, I am just in awe of God, and I give him all the praise and glory for anything and everything that is done. This is not me. I was very quiet and shy growing up. So for me to speak in front of anybody is a miracle of God, and it is of God. So anybody that knows me knows that. But he has given me the ability to write a song recently, and I am also in the final stages of writing a book called Made in Secret, which is going to be about my life. So much more went on than what I can say in our time here, but I pray that both of those will be used to glorify him. I can't say enough about Restored Life and Love Life this past year, and even we just started back with the prayer walks this year, and we are outside of an abortion clinic, and we pray, and we sing praise and worship songs, and in our midst are escorts from the abortion clinics, and so they get to hear and they get to see what the church comes out and does. And last week in Greensboro, we had 700 plus from a church called Mercy Hill, which was an awesome sight to see all of those people praying. And I know that in Raleigh, you guys have churches that come out there in New York City and also in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're anywhere close to those cities, please come out and join us on Saturdays from 9 to 11. And the one in Greensboro is on Randleman Road, and the one in Charlotte is on Latrobe Drive. And I'm not sure where Raleigh is.
Drake Circle.
Speak to that a little later.
It's Drake Circle. Okay. But and all that information is available. If you just go to lovelife.org and you click on the cities, you'll find out Greensboro, Charlotte, Raleigh, and then New York City. Yeah, every Saturday, 40 weeks in a row. That number should be obvious as to why it's 40 weeks in a row. And it is a powerful thing for a lot of people, and I mention this all the time, Robin, to just, besides the fact that we're there, just praying for, interceding for the men, the women, the doctors, the escorts, the volunteers, everybody there, as well as singing, literally praising and worshiping the Lord. It's a real heavenly presence. That's kind of our part on that wall during that period of time.
Right.
There's other sidewalk counselors and other people there. But besides what we're engaging in specifically, I think it's a really, really healthy experience for any Christian, because I think in America, that's probably the most physical manifestation of darkness and light that you're going to experience. And like you said, sometimes you get mocked. I mean, we have a gal named Kelsey at the clinic here who can be really, really nasty and raunchy. She's got, she says terrible things, and there can be a lot of mocking going on. But all of that, coming face to face with that darkness as a Christian and manifest in the physical realm, I think is really healthy to remind us not only of the fight and the horrible tragedy going on with abortion, but that the spiritual battle is real. I mean, it becomes so real to you that day. I think it has reverberating effects on your faith on things other than abortion.
Exactly. It is something that every church member should see, because it not only brings the darkness into focus for them, but it also gives an opportunity for them to understand through my testimony or whoever's given their testimony that day, that there may be a church member sitting right beside of them who has been touched by the pain of abortion, whether indirectly or directly.
Yeah.
And so this gives the church the opportunity to see love in action and how they can better reach out. And earlier I said church should be a place where we could run and get help in a crisis. And there are churches out there that are now embracing that. Some people are doing the Embrace Grace for pregnant young ladies, and some people have post-abortive groups that are starting now. And so churches are embracing abortion and those who have faced the trauma of abortion well now. They are showing the love of Christ through those things. So you had said earlier, what ways can we get involved? And that's a way. If your church has a ministry, get involved with it. And just, you can pray. If you can't do anything else, you can pray for those ministries. Right. But if you can and you want to, get involved in stuff like that. If your church does not have a ministry like that, we would love to help you get one started. Just contact me and I will let you know how you can get something started in your church for post-abortive or Embrace awesome. Grace, either one. There's lots of pregnancy support centers out there. Every town just about has a pregnancy support center, and they are the greatest kept secret around. Pregnancy support centers are out there on the front lines.
Absolutely.
They are doing it well, and they are supporting those young moms out there, and they are giving those pregnancy tests and giving the ultrasounds for free. So if you have a pregnancy support center, I know Compassion Cares is out on the sidewalks in Greensboro, and Greensboro Pregnancy Center is out on the sidewalks as well. So if there's a pregnancy support center near you, I encourage you to support them. You can also get involved by volunteering with them. You can get involved if you want to be on the sidewalks. They have sidewalk advocacy training that you can go out and do that. I've also said the prayer walks already. 40 Days for Life is out. Yep. You can get involved in that in some way. North Carolina Right to Life, and all these have websites. You can get involved, and that's more of a political way that you can get involved. And one of the main things this year, I would suggest, is to vote. Get out and vote. Pro-life candidates who are very pro-life and who are going to uphold the sanctity of life.
That's right.
That is what we need to be engaging in this year, is just supporting those people and voting for them. So I encourage you to vote. And like I said before, if you can't get involved in any other way, pray.
Pray.
You can pray from your home. You can pray from your car, wherever you are, but pray. Those are some things that you can always do. And if you are out there and you have had an abortion and you really have been carrying it, if you've carried it for one day, you've carried it one day too long, please reach out to someone. Come to our website. My website is on there. Call me, send me an email, something. Let me know. You are not alone. You are not alone, and you don't have to carry this shame, guilt, and pain any longer. Jesus Christ died for you. He loved you before you were born, and he loves you now. And he knew what you were going to do in between those, and he still loves you. So reach out to someone at your church or reach out to someone that you trust. There's always somebody there.
Amen.
Even those people who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy, please find somebody to talk with before and get the information that you need. Lots of people are not well informed about abortion, and they don't know that they're going to have to carry this pain with them. And that healing is going to come, it will take a lot to find the healing that they need. So just get informed before you make any decisions. So know that there's help out there. Know that people are out there and they love you, and they will love you through this pregnancy. They will support you through this pregnancy.
Amen.
And just reach out. Reach out for someone.
Amen. Robin, thank you so much. God bless you for your obedience to what God has called you to, and for sharing your story and for staying involved. We really appreciate you. I appreciate you. God bless you. Hope your event goes well tonight, and I look forward to talking to you and hopefully meeting face-to-face one of these days.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. That was Robin Hingle. And like she said, you can get a hold of her at soarinlife.org. SOARIN Life, soarinlife.org. Little contact form there. And obviously, she would be happy to talk to you. Go, and especially if you're on this side of an abortion, restoredlife.us. There's so many different resources there for you. Restoredlife.us. A lot of them are in person, Bible study groups, as well as some online things. This is Steve Noble with The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.